The Lord is good. How do you know that? We are alive. We're going to be alive for eternity. When you go on YouTube these days, the incredible fear that you're seeing, not only on YouTube, the incredible fear that everybody is portraying, whether you go to a store or go talk to people, it's unbelievable. I used to preach on this for the last 30 years, but now I'm getting to experience the fear of people. Some that I know, very, very afraid of what's going to happen to them. Christians, those who say they're born again. I got a question for you, those of you who are listening on the internet. Do you really know the Lord if you're that afraid? Because dying, the Bible calls it, we go from death to life, not from life to death. When we die, we live for eternity in our glorified bodies in the joy of the Lord. But the fear that we're seeing all over the world is unprecedented like we've never seen before. What will happen to this world when the rapture happens? I'm going to preach on the rapture today. What will happen to those people who know then for sure there is a God? Who know then for sure that God is one day going to come and judge? Now everybody's, we may die of a coronavirus. They're so afraid of death. They don't come near you. I don't know, it seems like I was listening to President Trump. People are going to start committing suicide pretty soon if we don't do something about this. We can't be cooped up in a house for too long. We need to associate with one another. We need to encourage one another. And doing it through social media doesn't cut it. It helps. But it doesn't cut it. Now people will start to understand that getting together is very important. Up till now, especially the young people, have been associating with one another through social media. This will give them a taste. They need one another. We are created to be in contact with one another. We're not created to be hermits or living out in the bush alone. We wouldn't survive. Our minds would go crazy. And God wants us to understand that this is what we were created to share with one another, to help one another, to be with one another. But it seems like the world doesn't seem to care about God. But God is giving us warnings. Is this the end? No, it's not. We're going to have more of this as we get closer to the end. Terrible earthquake. I'm telling you, the earthquakes that we're seeing in the last year haven't been reported. I listened to one guy, he counted 7 major earthquakes in the last year. And nobody reported it on the news except the one down in Utah. They reported. So what's happening? They're keeping it quiet so people don't get riled up. But for some reason, they want to rile us up with this virus. Anyways, before we get into this message today, I'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the grace to know your word so that we can understand the signs of the times. You will bless us with knowledge and you will bless us, O God. I come against this spirit of fear, O precious God, that is invading our country here, that has invaded our country. I pray that it'll be far from us. And I want you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. So many are asking today. I was listening to a good pastor that I watch on TV, on the internet all the time. Is this the end of the world? No, it's not. Things have to happen. It could be the end of the world as we know it. That is for a fact. But the end of the world, the end of dispensation of time is incredible when you study the book of Revelation, when you study what's happening in the prophets. God is going to yet pour out his wrath on this planet. But first of all, he will, with these things we're seeing, like this virus, or with earthquakes, or with whatever, he's first going to draw a lot of people onto himself. I've heard there are many, many people, doctors and nurses, are turning to Jesus right now as we speak. They're now seeing that God means business. See, in every person, there is this thing. Will I be all right? I want to be all right. I want to go to heaven. Yes, there are a few. There are some people that don't believe, that have no soul, I call it. But most of us are flesh and blood, and we want to go to heaven. We want to live forever. We want to be with God. Well, God has promised us, I go and prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and get you. And you will live then with me forever. There'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrows. It's going to be over for bad times. It's going to be good times for what we were created. We were created for pleasure, for the pleasure of God, to enjoy existing, not to struggle through life from day to day. But how will this thing come to a close? There's going to be a rapture first. God is going to take his children unto himself, and then he'll pour out his wrath. But there's going to be two coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. One before the tribulation, another after the tribulation, where we will come back with him. Amir Safati says, at the second coming back, you better look at his back, not his face. You better be behind him and not in front of him, because those in front of him are going to be annihilated. That's interesting. Here is what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of these days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall from the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's at the end of the tribulation. Every eye shall see him. He'll come with power and great glory. He'll come down to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. I stood on that mount, and when I was there, I visualized that Jesus coming down here. That's going to be an awesome day. But I will have my glorious body when he does that. I'll come back with him. But how will the rapture happen? The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also, that word also is very important, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So it'll be life going on as usual, men going to work, men going to hockey, men watching hockey, men playing football, men going hunting, whatever it'll be. They'll be about their business, and then something will happen. I want to interject here. Does God still judge today? I want to share something that I read on YouTube. It came from a Chinese who gave us the information. And I looked it up on YouTube, and sure enough, it happened. There was this village or this town in China, a beautiful place in the mountains, unbelievably beautiful. The air was fresh, the water was so good, the fruits were incredible. And the elite of China were drawn there. And it became a place of debauchery, gambling, incredible homosexuality, and all sorts of vice and gluttony and just out sinning. And these Christians would go in and try to warn them, God is going to judge. You need to come to Jesus. Oh, no, we don't need a God. We have money. And one day in the year 2008, that whole thing, there was an earthquake in that area. That whole village or town sunk down and the mountains covered it up. Nobody survived. The towns around it, some, I watched on YouTube, their schools, most of the kids died. And the men, they were allowed to live, I guess. But God took away all their children. In a minute, they couldn't dig them out. Hundreds of them, thousands of children died in that earthquake that happened. Was it reported on the news over about that town that disappeared? Not one word. Nobody knows about it. Except a few Chinese. Have you ever heard of that? I didn't. I looked it up. Yes, there was an earthquake, but there's no mention of a town totally disappearing. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to see more of that. So as life goes on, we need to turn to God. We got to warn them because Jesus means business. I created you for my pleasure. You do not run after Satan. If you do, your time will be cut short. So how will it happen? How will we leave this earth? I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, that's going to be an awesome day. It'll happen one day. This is not a fairy tale. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. We shall not all die. Yes, we may die, some of us. But I am sure there are some people here. We're definitely going to see that day when Jesus will come back and will say, hey, it's time to go. And it says, we shall be changed. Did that ever happen before? If you studied the Bible, yes, it did. When did the graves open and people come out? It tells us in Matthew chapter 27, and the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. That's after Jesus rose from the dead. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Can you imagine? Somebody coming up to your front door knocking, hey, I'm alive. Remember me? I died 20 years ago. This is what happened here. They went into the city and communicated with the people. And this is what's going to happen at the rapture. We will be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise. Those who have loved ones that are in Christ shall rise. And they'll come and communicate with you, with me. This is going to be awesome. What will they talk about? About the goodness of Jesus, how beautiful heaven is, and we better get ready for those of us who are not ready. And there's many that are going to be saved even though they will not be changed. This is why you don't see confusion in the Bible. You don't see it at the rapture because God is going to make sure there is no confusion. He will make sure people understand perfectly. We will be able to stop our vehicles. That's my theory. God showed it to me once. We will be able to land our planes with this new body or just take it and bring it down. Stop the train. I'm telling you, it's going to be an awesome day. Because God has it all set up. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to look forward to that. Today we're too busy in everything we do. I remember me and Steve, when we first left the Hutterite system, and this guy came up to us. He was our neighbor. He was the coach of the closest town. Give me your kids. I want to teach them in sports. And we told him, we're going to teach our kids in sports. You know what we did for a couple of years? What we taught our kids? We took them to Winnipeg on Main Street and ministered to the homeless. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, remember? Preaching and singing to those people, telling them about Jesus. That's how my kids grew up. How many can say that today for the audience who's listening on the internet? I'm telling you, God is serious. He's watching every move we make. If we're going to be grounded in this world, He will have to wrench it from us. One of these days, if we don't let go, He'll simply take it away from us. But God wants us to come peacefully, and He wants us to be ready. And I am ready. I've done what God called me to do. Am I a goody two-shoes? Absolutely not. If you'd know me, I make mistakes all the time, but I have this great respect and faith in God. And here it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain after we've been changed, remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what? Comfort yourselves one another with these words. I love that. Comfort yourselves with these words. What does comfort mean? It means we need to encourage one another, to comfort one another. It's not the end of the line for us. It's just the beginning of a gracious life. Hallelujah. God wants us to comfort one another. In the second coming, Jesus comes down to the Mount of Olives. In the first coming, before the tribulation, what does it say here? We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Gravity is going to lose its hold on us. We are going to go up to meet Him. Amen. This is not a fairy tale, kids. This is real. I've been preaching this for 30 years, 40 years. And God has shown me it's getting closer and closer. How do I know? Coronavirus. When have you ever seen this? We're seeing right now. Never in our lives. Now we know what it means to be shut down. Canada has never experienced that. We know what it means to be under law. I remember I was under the law years ago, but now the world is under the law. They have to do what the government says. And there's terrible fines if they don't follow that law. And God will have to do something pretty quick, or else people will start committing suicide. We know that because we know how people are. They're very much afraid, and you can only handle fear so long. And then Satan comes in and says, I know how to get rid of that one. I know how Satan works already. It takes advantage of every person who is afraid, and he'll hammer it in there as much as he possibly can. Now listen to this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's in closing, in verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or are asleep, whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Again, wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another. Interesting. Why does he put that in twice in the same scriptures? Because he knows that when that time comes, people will need comfort. People will need edification. He didn't put it in just for us to read. He's warning us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come together, edify one another, comfort one another, because these things are going to look into our windows. We're going to experience the end time tribulation before the tribulation comes. This is just the beginning of sorrows that we're seeing. This is just the beginning of all these things that have been prophesied. I can't wave a magic wand and say, God, just take them away. No, it's written and it's going to happen. And we know that for a fact, because whatever has been prophesied in the Bible has come true. And these things will also come true. And we need to do something about that. What do we do about it? We turn to Jesus. I know one guy, when I explained to him about the tribulation, he wasn't even a Christian yet, but he became one right afterwards. I explained to him about the terrible tribulation. And then guess what? He asked me, where's the best place to be? And I told in Texas. He figured Texas was a pretty safe place. I said, no, there's no place except to be in Christ Jesus. That's the only place that's safe. And how do you get to be in Christ Jesus? The Bible teaches us, if you believe in Christ, if you know about him, he has given you the power to become his child. How do you do that? You ask him into your heart. You receive him as your Lord and Savior. He's not just an historic figure that walked about 2,000 years ago. He is a God of the creation of the universe. He created you and I. And he wants us to be with him for eternity. And he tells us, I paid for what you did. I paid the price of your sin. Come to me, accept my forgiveness, and I will give you eternal life. That's a good deal, let me tell you. You don't pay nothing. You just accept what he gave you. When I heard that the first time when I read it, I couldn't believe my eyes. I felt goosebumps going up and down my spine and all over my face. I looked at that book again and I said, Lord, it says here this, let's see the German Bible. I'm going to make sure this is for real. Because we had the German Bible. So I read the German Bible and sure enough, it had the same thing. And I said, Lord, you said it, I didn't. I'm accepting this for myself, and my life changed. Did I change overnight? But did I become a very good person? That's not the point, becoming a good person. I became a different person. The goodness came slowly, sometimes much slower. But I became a different person. I was changed in a moment, in a split second. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. My thoughts changed, my ideas changed, and my things, my outlook on life was completely turned upside down. This is what I got for you, those of you who are listening. This Jesus who saved me can save you, and he will. He means business when he says, come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. I am easy to get along with. And those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the God of the universe talking to me, to you. Isn't that awesome? He means business. He loves you more than we even can imagine. But this is what the Bible teaches us. We need to turn to him, give him our lives and hearts so that we can become a blessing to our God and a blessing to ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the Lord bless you with this. Amen.